A desperate crowd gathers before dawn at a job fair hoping for work during the recession. Suddenly, headlights pierce the fog. A Mercedes sedan accelerates directly into the crowd, killing 8 and injuring dozens. The driver escapes, leaving behind only a clown mask and a smiley face sticker on the steering wheel. This isn't supernatural horror, it's the chilling opening of Mr. Mercedes, where the monster looks just like us. The novel introduces us to a world where evil hides in plain sight, wearing name tags and driving ice cream trucks through suburban neighborhoods. What makes this story so disturbing isn't elaborate fantasy, but its grounding in mundane American reality. The recession, unemployment lines, and the quiet desperation of ordinary people push to breaking points. The Mercedes massacre becomes more than a crime. It's a wound in the community's psyche, a reminder that safety is often an illusion, and that the most dangerous predators are those we never notice until it's too late. K. William Hodges sits in his Lazy Boy, contemplating suicide with beer and his father's .38 revolver. At 62, retirement has robbed him of purpose, his days blurring amid TV and dark thoughts. The Mercedes massacre remains his most haunting, unsolved case. A letter arrives with a smiley face instead of a return address. "Why not use that nice service weapon your father left you?" it taunts. The writer identifies himself as the Mercedes killer and invites Hodges to communicate through a private chat site called Under Debbie's Blue Umbrella. Though he should give this evidence to his former partner, Hodges hesitates. For the first time since retirement, he feels a spark of purpose. The killer's attempt to push him toward suicide has ironically given him reason to live. "You want to play games?" Hodges thinks. "Let's play." This unauthorized investigation pulls him from self-destruction into a dangerous cat-and-mouse game with a killer hiding closer than he realizes. By day, Brady Hartsfield works as a computer technician and ice cream truck driver. Behind this mundane facade lurks the Mercedes killer, a sociopath obsessed with destruction. Brady shares a disturbing relationship with his alcoholic mother, marked by inappropriate boundaries. Their home hides sinister secrets, including a basement control center with computers and homemade explosives. Most chilling is Brady's memory of helping his mother smother his younger brother after deliberately pushing him down the stairs. His technical prowess makes him especially dangerous. He stole the Mercedes using a device that captured the keyless entry signal. After the massacre, he tormented the car's owner with ghostly computer sounds until she committed suicide. Now he's surveilling Hodges, planning his downfall. What makes Brady truly terrifying is his ordinariness. He interacts pleasantly with customers and neighbors who never suspect his darkness. When serving ice cream to children, he maintains a friendly facade while internally seething. "If I wanted to, I could poison every single one of them. It would be so easy." As Hodges investigates, he forms an unexpected team. First is Jerome Robinson, a college-bound teen who mows his lawn. Despite his youth, Jerome offers exceptional computer skills and analytical thinking, quickly deducing Hodges' interest in the Mercedes killer case. The team grows when Hodges meets Teeny Patterson, sister of Mercedes owner Olivia Trelawney, who killed herself after being tormented by the killer. Janie reveals her sister received similar taunting letters, sparking both a professional alliance and romance with Hodges. The final member, Holly Gibney, Janie's middle-aged cousin with severe anxiety and possible neurodivergence, joins after tragedy strikes. Initially appearing fragile, Holly reveals surprising strength and technical expertise crucial to identifying the killer. This makeshift family becomes the novel's emotional core. Each brings unique skills, but more importantly, they provide Hodges with human connection that pulls him from despair. Their relationships show that community and compassion are the most effective weapons against evil. We're stronger together than we are apart, Hodges realizes as they uncover clues official investigators missed. Technology functions as both weapon and vulnerability throughout the story. Brady's technical expertise enables his crimes. He steals the Mercedes using a custom device, torments Olivia with programmed systems, and maintains surveillance of Hodges through digital means. His basement command center serves as his technological fortress. I'm the creator, Brady thinks it is computers. I'm the destroyer, too. Yet technology creates vulnerabilities Brady fails to anticipate. The digital footprints he uses to track others lead back to him. When Jerome and Holly examine Olivia's computer, they discover Brady's sophisticated but traceable remote access program, crucial evidence identifying him as the killer. King portrays modern technology as a double-edged sword that both connects and isolates. Brady uses it to distance himself from victims while maintaining an illusion of intimacy. Hodges, initially isolated in retirement, finds new purpose through his technology-aided investigation. The novel also shows how criminal investigation has evolved. Traditional police work must now incorporate digital forensics. Hodges' partnership with tech-savvy Jerome symbolizes the necessary integration of old-school detective work with modern technical expertise. After failing to kill Hodges with a car bomb, which kills Janie instead, Brady targets a sold-out boy band concert at the Midwest Culture and Arts Complex. With thousands of teenage girls attending, including Jerome's sister Barbara, Brady plans to detonate explosives hidden in a wheelchair. King masterfully builds suspense as Brady enters the venue disguised as a disabled man, with his brother's photo concealing the detonator. As the band takes the stage and fans rise, Brady prepares to trigger his bomb. Hodges suffers a heart attack just as he uncovers the plan. With him incapacitated, Holly and Jerome must rush through the crowd while Brady positions himself in the wheelchair section, finger hovering over the detonator. In the novel's most dramatic moment, Holly approaches Brady with unexpected courage. Recognizing him despite his disguise, she strikes him with Hodges' happy slapper, a sock filled with ball bearings, fracturing his skull and preventing detonation. This climactic scene subverts expectations, as the anxious, middle-aged woman previously dismissed as fragile becomes the unlikely hero. Mr. Mercedes concludes with a warning about monsters hiding in plain sight, but also hope about everyday heroes. Brady Hartsfield isn't supernatural. He's the person next door, the service worker we interact with daily. His ordinariness makes him more terrifying than any fictional monster. If monsters walk among us, so do heroes. Jerome's intelligence, Janie's compassion, Holly's unexpected courage, and Hodge's determination represent the human capacity for goodness. Each brings unique strengths that complement the others and ultimately defeat Brady's schemes. In the final scene, Hodges visits the recovering Holly and Jerome for a picnic. They formed a makeshift family bonded by trauma, finding meaning in each other despite their scars. Hodges' contemplation of starting a private investigation agency with Holly shows how dark experiences can transform into new purpose. The real horror isn't what lurks in shadows, but what hides behind friendly smiles and ordinary routines. The novel's message is one of vigilance and connection. Evil may wear a mundane face, but so does courage.